Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
You ever feel like you're being judged? The answer is you probably are. There's an entire online forum where people are talking about the things that they silently judge other people for doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's human nature, right? Like, even if you're a good person and you know it's not right to do that, in your mind, automatically it happens. You just either say it out loud or you don't.
Truthfully, I don't believe in judging. I think everybody does their thing.
Yeah.
But there's some things that people do that can irk you or immediately send a red flag that there's something missing in this guy's head, right? Or woman's head, I should say.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this past weekend, it was my wife's birthday, and my friend, who was nice enough to grab something for my wife, got her a large bottle of champagne. But Bill brought the gift, and it was wrapped in, and I say wrapped, it was in a brown paper bag with a rubber band along the top of it, and it simply said Alicia on it.
They boy wrapped it.
Like she was a hobo.
Yeah, boy wrapped it. Boys don't get that you gotta like wrap gifts and put them in bags and put tissue paper in there and things
nothing
like that.
Nothing frilly in it whatsoever. And I've gotten a bag before too that's in a gift bag but there's no tissue paper. It's just kind of rattling around in the bottom of the thing.
Somewhat acceptable.
But it feels still a little bit empty, right? And you know, when I looked at it, the silent and not so silent judgment was Bachelor. He's a bachelor.
Doesn't know.
Yeah. I mean, at least he was thoughtful enough to pick it up, but there it is.
Yeah. I'm looking at this list of things that people silently judge others for.
Yeah.
Not voting and bragging about that. We had a producer here who always would brag about the fact that he didn't vote.
Right.
And it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if that's your personal decision, but then you don't get a say on anything ever for the rest of your life if you don't show up to vote.
It's a statement that inherently makes you dumber.
Yeah.
And it has no positive contribution to those around you, right? It's just like a wah, wah.
Right. People talking loudly on their cell phones. When people use speakerphone when they're shopping at the grocery store or at their local store, that makes, I just don't understand why you think everybody needs to hear your conversation. It's the strangest thing to me.
What makes me crazy is that they're not actually talking about anything. Listen, if your phone rang, and you had your kid in the cart or this, that, your hands are full or whatever, and you answer the phone real quick. Hey, I'm at the store. What do you need? And you're answering those. That'd be one thing. That's an actual conversation. It's when you're on FaceTime and you're shopping and the other person is like doing their hair or something nonsense. And there's no real communication going on. It's just noise. Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, this is a good one. Not respecting the school bus. When I see a car fly by a school bus stop sign when it's stopped, oh, I will judge you. I will judge you. You shouldn't have a driver's license.
Locally, I just saw that they said that they're going to start recording and fining people with the cameras that are on buses. My first thought was, what have we been waiting for?
Why? Right.
Right. Why weren't we doing this all along?
I think that there's plenty of places that already do that.
Yeah. Everybody, every bus everywhere should be doing that.
People who get pushy and unnecessarily crowd others when flying, when they're calling you up by your number, but everybody is standing around, what are you waiting for? Like, just sit down, relax. When they call you, you can go up.
I hate that. They call that gate lice. On our last flight, our last traveling, I thought they called my number, and I walked up, and I had to be corrected. Yeah. And I was so apologetic because I was like, oh gosh, I'm that person. And I hate that person. And then I took three steps to the left and they called my group number not 15 seconds later.
Oh gosh.
But I still had to suffer the embarrassment.
The last flight I just took, there was a woman that was going on and she had three carry-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody in the world knows that you're allowed one carry-on and one personal item.
Yes, ma'am.
And she had three carry-ons. And the woman, she's arguing with the gate attendant who's letting her in. And she's like, well, they let me through security with this. And she's like, well, that's why I'm here, ma'am, is to make sure. And like, she's fighting with her. And I'm like, look around you.
Right.
You're holding everybody up. Like, you should be embarrassed. I silently judged her. I definitely did. It's a hard lesson for a lot of Americans to learn. Raven, get ready to have your mind blown.
Okay.
An Italian exchange student was brought by his American host family to visit the Olive Garden. And of course, he had to ask why he was there.
Why am I here?
I would get the fettuccine alfredo. Alessandro, they have carbonara.
Hey,
they have
calamari alfredo mozzarella will be enough torture for me.
Enough torture? What?
Now, that sounds disrespectful.
Oh.
On the other hand, I'm not sure why they would have brought him to that restaurant.
Alessandro, what are you talking about? Why are you so upset?
Sounds a little bitter.
Can you explain to people that they don't have Alfredo in Italy? And
it's not an Italian thing. It's not
an Italian thing. So, okay. You know, my parents are from Italy and my dad owns Italian restaurants. He is a chef. And I always giggle when people think that American Italian food is what they actually serve in Italy.
Yeah.
So I decided to go stop by my dad's house last night and have a conversation with him.
Okay.
Dad, I have a question about Italian foods that Americans eat. I need you to tell me if it's really Italian or not, okay?
Okay.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Not Italian.
Where did it come from?
America.
Yep. Sorry to break the news to you.
I mean, you guys like cheese. Well, I know you know of cheese.
Ha-ha.
You bring the big wheel and then you do the hot cheese. I like that.
Interestingly enough,
yeah.
What is fettuccine alfredo?
It's cream, egg yolk, and grated cheese.
Why isn't it Italian?
We don't make that in Italy. We make the fettuccine alfredo with just cheese in Italy.
The heavy cream, all that? That's American.
I mean, but
that's not Italian.
But I can get a pasta with cheese is what you're telling me, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
You can get that if you want. They'll know you're American.
Thank you, Italy. Good news. I'm still coming.
Yep.
I'm still coming.
How about mozzarella sticks? That's definitely Italian, right?
Definitely not. Also American Italian food. Don't forget. There's a lot of Italian-American food.
It's a lot. There's so much of it.
I'm not a big mozz guy myself, the fried mozz guy, but my wife loves it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loves it.
Mm-hmm.
It does strike me as a fair food, though.
Well, then garlic bread definitely has to be really Italian, right?
Never seen garlic bread in Italy.
Never what? Once.
Wait a minute.
Never.
What?
Never once have I gone to Italy, to any of my parents' towns, and seen garlic bread being served.
I'm going to be real with you. Like, the fettuccine alfredo thing, I think I remember hearing at some point in my life. The mozzarella sticks, like, I mean, mozzarella stick, that's not shocking to me. Garlic bread, this is eye-opening.
Well,
can I get it there? Will you...
They serve you fresh bread and they give you oil on the side, olive oil on the side. There's no, they don't even bring you butter. That's not a real thing.
No.
You get the butter on the side. That's not a real thing in Italy.
What do you guys get butter for?
Chicken parm.
Chicken parmigiana. That could kind of be because it's got the chicken cutlet with the mozzarella and the sauce. Mm. But mostly American.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Never saw it.
Anything else?
Oh, interestingly enough.
Huh. How about everyone's favorite spaghetti and meatballs?
Definitely American, not Italian. You're not going to get spaghetti and meatballs in a restaurant in Italy.
You want to know what actually was eye-opening to me?
Why? Please, somebody tell me.
So where did it come from? Because I know, you know, obviously Nonna, we grew up with Nonna's always making us meatballs.
It came from here. Pasta and meat, you know, make meatballs, chop meat.
Yep. When the Italians came here, they became, including my parents and my grandparents.
Yes.
They decided to make all these own their own things. But if you go to Italy and you talk to any of my cousins, they don't even understand why we eat these things. It's Italian American.
This is crazy to me.
Right. So if next time you book your trip and you go out there,
I'm gonna have to bring garlic bread. I'm gonna have to bring
in
my own
luggage. In your luggage.
I'm gonna have to bring my own.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So interesting how things never change. I I was part of a fundraising effort at a local teen center this past weekend, and the theme was all things 80s.
Okay.
Right? It's an 80s cover band. Yeah. Everybody was maxed out, dressed in 80s gear.
A lot of hot pink. Was there jelly bracelets? Any of that stuff?
It was everything, but it was funny because my husband and I walked in, and I looked around, and I said, this is just like high school for real, because you could look at the groups and look at the different people who are all now grown adults here for a great fundraising effort, and you could tell what clique they were in high school.
So you feel like they were still in the same cliques now?
100%.
Still same groups of friends, mostly?
I mean, I don't know these people. You know, it was a teen center, so like but you could walk in and never knowing a single one of these people, you could tell what clique they belonged to in high school by the way they were dressed.
So when you walked in, did you feel like an outsider, or did you, you know, quickly assimilate with other cliques? Did they reach out? Were they nice or whatever?
No, I mean, it had something.
So it wasn't like school cafeteria where like, you know, this seat's taken, there's nowhere for you to sit.
It was still an adult fundraiser for a teen center, Raven.
Okay.
So everybody was very nice.
They were nice enough, but you could still see the groups.
Yes.
What were the things you saw?
First, the Letterman jackets. You could still see who the jocks were, and the jocks were at the bar, which is not surprising at all.
Okay.
And then I saw this one woman who I mean, she looked amazing. She was dressed like Diane Keaton with like the oversized suits. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, there's the theater kids. All the theater kids were standing there, you know, like they were all kind of dressed like that.
Yeah.
Then there were the girls that were dressed like Madonna. And you're like, there's the popular girls dancing in the front, right in the front, in the center thing.
Okay.
And I looked around the room and I said, it's so funny that you can still figure out what clique you were in high school based on how you've selected to dress this evening.
Yeah. I was like with the roughnecks and the weirdos. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we were kind of troublemakers, but we were funny. I mean, I like to think that we were harmless enough at the time, but we were constantly in some sort of trouble or in the middle of something that was a little bit messy. And you know what? As adults, not necessarily all that different.
Right?
I mean, a bit of it anyways. Like, I think of myself as the only person who survived that group, even though not all those people are dead. But, you know, like to varying degrees of success, you know what I mean?
So you were in the bad boy clique.
I think when people, and when sometimes when people run into me, I think they think to themselves, oh my gosh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So one of my old friends from high school, Kristen, and she was a theater kid through and through again.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her, and the way she was using her mannerisms and her hands and all that, I'm like, she is still a theater kid.
She was still very dramatic
all this day,
in her delivery.
Yep. And then I met with another group of women, and I hadn't met them before, and I was sitting there with them, and I thought, these were the cool girls in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really... There was always different varying levels of cool girls
and
popularity.
Of course. Right.
And I was never cool enough to be in the most popular, but I kind of...
You were
like,
B-run?
I was like B-roll.
B-roll.
Like, I was in the B-roll. I was in like the C group. B-C group is kind of where I fell.
Straight to video release.
Right.
Yeah, that was you as far as popular goes.
Yeah, like that was as far
the
as
the Lorenzo Lamas of your lunchroom. I love it. Okay.
Like, I was a cheerleader, but never captain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
you were Tori Spelling.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I understand. All right.
I don't know. What clique were you in high school? And do you think you're still like that today? Do you still belong in that clique? 1-800-330-9999. Do you think the clique you were in high school reflects who you are as an adult? I went to an 80s-themed fundraiser this past weekend. It was for a local teen center, and it was so funny because everybody was decked out. It was absolutely awesome, great event. But I'm looking around the room, and I'm like, you could look around, and even though these are all grown adults, you could tell what clique they were in high school.
Did you tease up your hair?
I put the neon sunglasses on top of my head, and I wore like an old school radio t-shirt.
Oh,
like,
you mailed it in.
Jeans.
Come on.
Oh, I mailed it in. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. When I got there and I saw how decked out people were, and you could see, they were the jocks. So they were I kind of felt like, I should have put a little more effort into this.
Yeah, either way, you know, cool to remember, right?
Well, what was the clique that you were in high school? 1-800-330-9999. Lauren.
I was in the US 14 clique.
What was that?
I was in the US 14 clique.
Yeah, what does that mean? Please explain to me.
Well, there were 14 of us, and we called us the US 14.
Well, 14 of you, like, I mean, I don't know if that's a clique so much as, like, you know, a softball team or something. Like, I mean, you guys, like, you're running full football offense, and you've got three or four people on the coaching staff. Like, that's an impressive clique.
It was.
Yeah.
I think we were more like a gang, though.
Yeah. You said it, not me. You know what? Thank you. That's certainly what I would have called myself and my group of 14 friends as well. So,
so Raven was always part of the bad boy group. I was.
Yeah.
I was like the B group. Like, I wasn't the popular girls, but like a level or two below them.
Semi-popular. You get invited to the parties, but you weren't necessarily going to be prom queen.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's kind of where I felt.
Yeah, all
producer
right.
Producer Sophia, producer Justin, were you part of high school cliques, Sophia?
No, I wasn't really. I was a cheerleader, but I didn't really associate myself with the cheerleader clique.
Like, you're the outsider.
I was the outsider. I had my own friends.
How does that work if you're on the cheerleading squad and you're like not hanging out with them all the time? Because I feel like they live together.
I mean, right? We were close, but we weren't like, we didn't hang out outside of cheer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're the outsider. That's a real thing. Yeah, those are the people that like, you're part of everything, but you don't really necessarily consider that your identity.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Justin, okay. How about you? Were you part of a high school clique?
I was all over the place. So I was on the football team. Mm-hmm. I was in the theater department. I was in the Latin club, in the chess club, and I was in the Dungeons and Dragons club, and I hung out with the heavy metal guys.
I mean, how did you have time to hang out with anybody if you were doing all those different things?
Well, that's why I never really fell into one over any of the other ones.
Yeah.
Because I was always just doing something different.
I mean, to be football and the drama club, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, it's like, That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems pretty well-rounded.
It was a lot.
Do you think that it reflected you as an adult being all over the place like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah?
Because my interests right now are still varied all over the place. Mm-hmm.
Did the football fans, friends make fun of you for being in drama? Or did they all go and support your play like it was an episode of Dawson's Creek?
No, it was like, that's kind of weird. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And also the theater department was like, but wait, but you're a jock, right?
Right.
Like, well,
everybody was very, very, very confused.
They needed somebody to play Frankenstein, though. Look at him. He's like 7 feet tall.
That's true.
They were like, oh, sign him up. You get the role, bro.
Ryan Gosling had a case of the giggles. Breaking character. Now, could you keep a straight face? Ryan Gosling was the host this past weekend on Saturday Night Live, and they did this skit where he was playing a principal at a school and he was dealing with bullying.
Okay.
And he was reading the notes that the kids were passing around in class. But as it started, a message popped up on the screen letting us know that they had switched the notes from the ones that they had used in rehearsals to the ones that were being performed live.
That's good. So you get that real first-time reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone this, but I came to school early the other day and Principal Witt was in the school gym shooting hoops. I saw him miss 133 layups in a row. After each miss, he said, there's gotta be a way to do this. And he finally made one. He tried to celebrate by ripping his t-shirt in half, but he couldn't do it. He just stretched it out really bad.
And he is giggling the whole time in his breaking character. And that's the big thing about Ryan Gosling. He's like pretty much known for breaking character. He can't stay in.
Yeah.
So what Raven and I have decided to do is see how professional we are.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us has written a commercial for the other. Neither of us have seen it. We have no idea what it says. We have folded up pieces of paper right in front of us.
Yeah, the rules have been you can't look at don't you even look at it yet. You still can't look at it.
Okay.
Right now until it's time for you to actually read it. And then, and we'll just see whether or not we can make the other one crack up.
So you have to be able to deliver the commercial with a straight face without breaking character. Raven, you go first. I don't know why there's so many words on mine.
I have a feeling that I kind of know what the subject matter of yours is. Do I need any accompaniment or anything like that?
No.
I just go ahead and read it.
No, kill the audio behind us.
Okay.
I have sound effects.
All right, here we go. Okay. I'm gonna open it now. Are you ready?
Wait, hold on a second. Let me get ready. Hold on. Okay.
You have sound effects?
I have sound effects.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? Here we go.
All right.
Hey, it's Raven, former cop, tough guy, and today I need to talk to you about something personal. No, not that personal. Relax. Let me ask you something. Have you ever taken your shoes off and people reacted like this? Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah, that was happening in my house. Even the dog wouldn't come near me. The rancid smell. The look of the yellow, withering toenails. Turns out, it wasn't my shoes. It was toe fungus.
Ah!
But that's when I found the Toby Gone antifungal spray. Just one spray a day, and my feet went from revolting crime scene smell to safe for public pedicures. Now I can take my shoes off anywhere. At home, at the gym, even at Anna's desk.
Hard no.
Toby Gone antifungal spray, because nothing ruins your tough guy image faster than losing a fight with your own toes. Available at pharmacies everywhere. I think I did all right.
You only broke once.
Yeah.
You only broke once.
I think I did okay.
All right, let me do mine. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Funnily, both of us would be about medicals. Yours is about flatulence and Bridgerton.
Oh, good.
Yeah, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Dearest gentle reader, have you ever wondered what secrets lie beneath the perfectly starched collars and impeccable laced bodices of Mayfair's elite? Oh, dear. Perhaps that second helping of macaroons was a mistake. Beneath the shimmering silks and sparkling diamonds, a silent struggle unfolds, a battle against the inevitable. The scandal. It appears even the most defined members of the ton are not immune to certain bodily functions. But fear not, dear viewers, for there is a solution. Introducing Benson's Biscuits for Better Bowels. These delightful charcoal biscuits will keep you feeling light and airy even after the most extravagant feasts. No more embarrassing moments at the Featherington Soiree. Benson's Biscuits, the discreet solution for a more dignified digestion. Available at all fine apocryphal.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that word either.
Because even in Mayfair, everyone farts. Really? I want you to know that Raven ChatGPT'd this and left all the commentary in, the highlighted parts and all the... are you serious?
Yes. I reworked it several times.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
There's a three-person script here, Raven.
Oh, no. It gave you the original. Why did he do that to me?
Yes.
No, that's terrible.
Move over, Travis. There's a different Kelsey that we're concerned about. Trending is powered by Cricket Nation. Financial savviness is self-care. That's why you should join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16s 5G when you switch. Feels good, doesn't it? Smile, you're on Cricket. Raven, usually when you hear about the Kelseys being in the news, it's something lovable about Jason or Travis and Taylor Swift and all that, right? Now, oddly enough, yesterday was a big day for Travis because this announcement came out.
Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is expected to return to Kansas City for his 14th season. The future Hall of Famer will be turning 37 in October and has spent his entire career with the Chiefs.
So he was going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
There was some talk about him fielding offers from other
teams. He's not going.
He's not going anywhere.
No, first off, I mean, you've got one of the best coaches in the league, arguably. You've got arguably the best quarterback in the league. You wouldn't go anywhere. And then you have all that history, too. A lot of teams, honestly, might not all be that interested, too. I mean, he's kind of lost a step. But I don't think there's any shock to the fact that he's coming back. Chiefs, they loaded up yesterday in free agency. So
yeah, it's a one-year contract. It's worth about $12 million. People say he could have gotten more because of the star power of Taylor.
I mean, if he went somewhere, he could have gotten more.
He's got $1 billion.
He could have went somewhere else and not played as much either.
But you want to know what? That wasn't the big story about a Kelce yesterday.
What was it?
It was secondary to his mom because TMZ released an expose on her.
Wait a minute. What, on Donna?
Yep.
Okay. What are we talking about here?
TMZ sent out a tweet and published an article saying, breaking news. Travis and Jason Kelce's mom, Donna, remodeling her modest Florida home.
Oh my gosh.
And then Jason retweeted it and wrote, breaking, sources confirm, Donna Kelce's eldest son watched 2 hours of Bluey yesterday. Let me read you the article that TMZ blasted across the universe that got everybody talking.
Please, please do.
Travis and Jason Kelce's mom, Donna Kelce, is in the middle of a home renovation, TMZ has learned. According to official records filed last month, Taylor Swift's future mother-in-law appears to be remodeling her two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,434-square-foot home in Orlando, Florida.
Very nice.
The documents show that Donna hired a company to replace 9 windows and 6 doors at the home.
Okay.
The property includes a den, library, office, and an exercise room. Donna purchased the home for $355,000 in March of 2019.
I mean, I feel like it must have been a very, very slow day. I mean, Rihanna's house was shot at yesterday. This is what we were talking about? An expose on Donna Kelce's contractor? Like, what is that?
Completely viral. And all the comments are, why haven't they released the name of the tile and color of the grout Donna Kelce chose for her home remodel? What are they hiding?
Oh, my gosh.
Another tweet says, does anyone have an update on Donna Kelce's house situation? I've been worried about her doors and windows all weekend. We just can't move on from this.
You know, I mean, I know they do, like, cribs, and then they do, like, you know, the you know, there's different home shows on and stuff like that, but doesn't this this make you a little bit nervous? If I was Donna Kelsey, if I was Travis Kelsey, I'd be like, why are you guys inside my mom's house? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it makes me a little bit nervous.
The Empire State Building tweeted, congrats to Donna Kelsey on remodeling her modest Florida home.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah. So everybody picked up on it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good news. The doors and the windows are coming. And, Donna, we wish you all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thoughts and prayers.
Take a bite of that Big Arch. Do it. All right.
Big night tonight. The U.S. goes against Italy in the World Baseball Classic, and it's a big, big game. Italy definitely has one advantage over us, though, Raven.
What's that?
Caffeine. Lots of it. They've been trending like crazy because of it.
I mean, I guess that would be a good power. I've seen something about this here. I know that the States, we've won like four games here, so that's a big deal. But I know Italy doing much better than everybody thought, that's
for sure. Absolutely. So they literally have an espresso machine in the dugout, the Italians.
I mean, is that legal?
Why not? If you have a big thing of Gatorade, why can't they have their own espresso machine in there?
I guess.
So they were asked at a press conference, the coach saying, you know, what's up with the espresso?
Well, in my tournaments in Europe, we got the espresso machine as well. It goes everywhere with us. It's something normal. You know, we got it in the bus, we got it in the dugout, everywhere. And then we also bring Parmesan cheese and olive oil. We put that everywhere.
I bet it's delicious.
Yeah. I bet it's delicious.
They don't trust our Parmesan cheese, and I don't blame them.
No, I don't blame them.
Yes.
The stats on that are staggering, how much of that is counterfeit, by the way. But that's great. I love that they ask him, and he's like, listen, we always have the machine.
Right.
He's like, the espresso comes with us wherever we go.
They say in Italy, they drink coffee about 20 times a day. It's a tradition, and they think that it's all about team building. So what they do...
team building.
First baseman, Vinny Pasquantino, he came up with the idea that it should be their official celebration for whenever they hit a home run.
Okay.
So whenever somebody hits a home run for the Italian team, when they get back to the dugout, they get handed a shot of espresso instead of Gatorade or whatever.
Delicious.
And they take the shot of espresso. And
I would have a heart attack by like inning four. Like seriously, even if I was no good.
I mean, I like the idea. Somebody who drinks a lot of coffee and a lot of espresso, I'm like, yeah. That pans, that checks.
It's fun for the World Baseball Classic how some of the rules are a little bit different, and just you see these different personalities of teams, because it's not like I can name all that many Italian players in major leagues.
No,
like,
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like guys that are coming from there.
So they're saying that caffeine is working for them, and the reason why they're doing so well is because it boosts their energy. It gives them more endurance.
Sure.
The reaction time is shorter, which all makes sense, because if you ever had a couple shots of espresso, woo! You know, woo!
You are jacked.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, is that a PED? Seriously, we should consider this.
And it's true. If you've ever gone to Italy, you know that every time you take a turn, there's a bar there. But their bar is different than our bar. Our bar, where we're serving shots of vodka, they're serving shots of espresso like it's nothing, right?
It's very fragrant in here right now. What's going on?
So what I've done is I've brought my espresso machine from home, and I have brewed us a pot of espresso.
Okay.
And I thought we would go head-to-head against each other in baseball trivia. And then we would see whoever gets the question wrong has to take a shot of espresso.
You know, my cardiologist and my wife would be vehemently opposed to this.
If our heart explodes, what are we going to do? We'll just move
on. Yeah. Lose. The other person wins.
Correct. Yes. We're going to do that, and it's coming up next. Tonight, the U.S. goes against Italy in the World Baseball Classic, and it's a big game. And everybody's been talking about the Italian team because every time they hit a home run, they go back to the dugout. And they do a shot of espresso. The coach talked about it.
Well, in my tournaments in Europe, we got the espresso machine as well. It goes everywhere with us. It's something normal.
It's something normal.
Yeah, we don't get on the plane. We don't get on the bus without the espresso machine. Most other guys are worried about equipment. This is part of our equipment.
It's performance-enhancing caffeine. That's what it is.
You must be excited with Italy playing pretty well. I mean, are you going to watch?
I don't care. I mean, it's baseball.
Come on, it's prime time, too, if the game is on.
Who cares? Okay, so... But what I do care about, very much so, is coffee and espresso. So I brought in my trusty espresso machine here.
What do they call that? Is that a French press or whatever?
Why would espresso from Italy be called a French press, Raven?
I don't know.
Does that make any sense at all?
I never make my own coffee. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it called?
It's an espresso machine.
I mean, it doesn't look like much of a machine, but okay.
All right. It's my pot, my espresso pot.
Okay,
so we have fresh brewed espresso here.
Yeah.
Producer Sophia is here. She's going to ask us baseball trivia questions. I'm going to buzz in with my bell.
Yeah.
Raven, you're going to buzz in with your dog toy?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Whoever gets the question wrong has to take shots of espresso. Let's see if our heart explodes. Okay.
All right. Such a terrible idea.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Ready? Go. Mm-hmm.
How many balls make a wall? Raven?
Four.
No. Right.
Yeah! Woo!
Shot of espresso, one!
How was that?
So good when it touches my lips.
Delicious.
Also, okay. You didn't even talk about the cute little espresso cups I brought from home. Lovely.
Lovely.
They are adorable.
Are they French?
No.
Continuing. All right. Ready? Number two. Mm-hmm. What player stands behind the batter to catch pitches?
Darn it.
Raven.
The catcher.
Correct.
Number two, Sean.
My cardiologist is going to be so happy.
Okay, I got to get one of these right. Oh, it's so good.
All right.
Ready?
So delicious.
Question number three.
Number three. What do you call it when a batter swings and misses three times?
A strike.
Yes.
Woo!
All right.
Take a shot.
All right.
Take a shot of espresso.
It smells strong.
Take a shot of espresso.
Yay!
All right. Woo!
Right. Ready?
Yes.
Yeah. What is the area called where the pitcher stands? Raven?
Strike zone.
No.
Oh, wait.
Anna, steal?
The mound.
Yes!
Where the who stands?
The pitcher's mound.
Oh, you were right. All right, pretty good.
Take a shot of espresso.
All right.
Take a shot.
Calm down. You're going to give me anxiety.
Espresso.
All right.
Wait till your heart starts beating really, really fast.
I already feel like I'm jittering.
It's so good. It's just so good when it touches your lips.
Another question. Here we go.
Okay, ready? This one's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know anything about baseball.
Perfect.
What is it called when a player catches a hit ball before it hits the ground? Anna.
A foul.
Mm-mm. No.
It's a pop-up.
Yes, I think it says a fly out. I think that's another word for it.
A pop-up fly.
I'll give it to you because I'm enjoying taking this shot.
Woo!
Yay!
Your lips are quivering.
This is the most alive I've ever felt in my life.
All right. Here we go.
One more.
Here we go.
All right. How many innings are in a standard baseball game? Raven?
Nine.
Yes!
Yeah! What? I guess
you have to top off.
One more shot.
Oh, my God.
I finished the pot.
You're going to be in the bathroom in like 3 minutes.
I am ready for anything you give to me.
Good job. It was fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game tonight.
I had never heard of the phrase minced oath before.
Yeah, I don't think that you'll hear it again after this conversation to tell you the truth.
It's so interesting. The things that have names that you didn't even know. So if you missed it, yesterday we were talking about whether or not you allow your children to swear in front of you.
Yeah.
And a majority of the audience said, like, yes, at some point as they get older, that they are allowed to swear in the right, I guess, let's say.
Context.
Right. In the right audiences, too. Like, not in front of your teacher at school or things like that.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about it because one of my friends is like, yeah, you got to, like, teach them words to say instead of swears. And I was like, what? So, I started doing some deep diving, and I found this.
Minced oaths. I found out that minced oaths is a deliberate mispronunciation or replacement of a word that could be seen as a swear word or something blasphemous.
So, instead of saying, you know, you say, gosh darn it. It's minced oath.
This person has wonderful enunciation. I don't typically credit people that are on the internet claiming to be experts, but she has very good enunciation.
So I looked up, like, what are the most popular minced oaths? Words that you use so you're not using real swears?
Yeah.
Right. Fudge nuggets.
Okay.
Fudge nuggets.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shut the front door.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You hear that one a lot.
Look at you. You hate it because it sounds so good. It's so close. Well, it's too close for you.
If you say it angrily enough,
right.
it's really like, I'm not even going to do it. Shut the front door.
There's one that Anna doesn't want me to say.
Because I don't like it. I think that it's too close.
The flippers one. It's too close.
Yeah.
If you call, we'll tell it to you. 800-330-9999 because it offends her. Genuinely. Yeah.
If you want to text, too, I'll tell you. I'll tell you on the text at 1-800-330-9999. Mm. Holy guacamole.
Yeah. That's easy.
That one I do a lot.
That one's okay.
Holy guacamole, you know. But did you know that when you see on social media where people use, like, the at symbol, the pound symbol, the dollar symbol, like, to put out a swear word?
Okay, yeah.
Do you know that has a name, too?
I didn't.
It's called Grawlix. Grawlix.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not rooted in anything that's going to resonate with me, so I'll never say that again. But, you know, either way.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at our text line, and it says, I say, oh, shiitake all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Shiitake.
That's all right.
The mushrooms. Yeah. Of course, that's what you're talking
about. Yeah, thank you for explaining it to people. In case you were wondering if it was an actual swear, Anna will explain to you that it's a mushroom.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, they're all coming in on the text line.
Here we go.
Texting for Raven Swear Alternative.
Yes, please, I'll tell them.
Okay, you can tell them on the text line. But also, different minced oaths that we're seeing show up.
Yeah.
Son of a nutcracker.
Yeah, okay, yes. That one's good. You can say that
Son
with some
good... Son of a nutcracker.
Good... Look at you, you're questioning yourself whether or not you should have said it.
There's one here that I can't read out loud. What's the word that you use when you're trying not to swear? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Now Raven has to answer these 700 text messages. And it's an American thing. Can you imagine in other countries they don't do this?
So, like, you would say something that sounded like a swear and they would figure that you were actually just swearing?
Right, they just swear in other countries.
Yeah, they just cuss.
They just cuss.
Yeah, the gloves are off.
Yeah, it's called a minced oath. And a minced oath in America is when you use a substitute swear word so you don't say the actual swear word.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we've all been there, darn it, and that kind of thing. But what is the minced oath that you use? 1-800-330-9999. Mike.
Sausage and biscuit.
Sausage and biscuit.
That's a good one.
I use sausage and biscuit. That's what I use. I use it quite often. I have two kids, a girl and a boy, and I use it quite often.
The problem with sausage and biscuits is it immediately makes me hungry. You know, anytime somebody would say that, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds delicious.
It's weird. I never used to say pseudo fake swears, and now I say them all the time.
Sausage and biscuit.
It's a huge part of my vocabulary at this point. I'm like, oh, Snapple cakes.
When your kids hear you say sausage and biscuits, do they know you're mad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They definitely do.
Yeah. They know that that's the end of whatever has been happening. The hijinks that have been going on, it stops there, Anna. Because then after that, once that filter comes off, it's going to get real bad.
Yep. Wanda, you don't swear, but instead you say what phrase?
What the freak.
What the freak.
What the freak. What that's the fleek, it. Too. So- the fleek, the freak.
There was a period of time where I wouldn't even say freak on the air.
Oh my.
Because it's too similar.
So it went on and on and on. And she would cringe every time. And yeah. Literally every person on the planet was saying it. But Anna Zapp said we couldn't say it on this show.
I didn't like it. Because people would say freaking. And I would be like, that's still bad.
It's too much. It's too close.
It's too close.
Right,
I've gotten
right.
better. Now I yeah. now it's fine.
You see how I'm limited, Wanda, in a partnership? Sometimes I just want to get out there and be like, what the fleek? And I can't.
Nope. No, I don't even like it the way you just said it. Now I might make you bleep it out.
See what I'm saying?
She's cringing now.
Yeah. What's up, Andrew? What is your swear word that you use instead of a swear word?
We use sugar honey iced tea.
That's a classic.
Yeah. I think it's throughout the Disney movies, too. You'll start to recognize you hear sugar honey iced tea a lot.
What? Is that real?
I think so.
What
you got to fact check me, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, let me ask my
I don't
friend.
Recall that myself, but it may have been in one or two, though. I'm trying to think. Was it in Lion King?
I'm don't worry. I'm asking my best friend, ChatGPT.
Yeah, they'll tell us instantly.
Yeah.
Hey, Leon, what is the word that you use instead of swearing?
Bargain ice hole.
Bargain ice hole.
Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah.
You son of a bastard.
That's a close one. Anna looked at the phone like she was worried about it.
Huh. Yeah. In Madagascar, the zebra says sugar honey iced tea.
Oh, sugar honey iced tea.
Martin! Hey, hold
I'm
up.
I'm going to kill you.
Hold up. Whoa.
Chris Rock, huh? Bad mouth.
Hi. What's a swear that you use that's not a swear?
Good.
Oh, my gravy.
We
say, instead of oh, my God.
Yeah, we say oh, my gravy instead of oh, my God.
Oh, okay. My gravy. Oh, my gravy. And gravy is delicious.
Oh, my gravy.
That's a good one.
Good. Jen, drop it on us. What is your swear word that's not a swear word?
So I'm always saying Mother Nature.
Yeah,
and my kids know instead of me saying the X first.
Anna's so worried right
that's
now because that's
first.
Close to
Mother
my
Nature.
Fake one. It's close to my fake one. It's a little strong for her taste.
Or else I say son of a niche.
Son of a niche. Ooh. So
that's also very close. Yes. We might have to beep that one out, Jen.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Now you're getting crazy. Yeah.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Cricut. Prioritize your self-care and switch to Cricket for unlimited plans starting at $35 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket. Lexi and Mitch. Lexi, what's going on?
I am a stay-at-home mom. We have a six-month-old and a three-year-old. That means I am doing all the unpaid childcare in our house, which is still very much work, and we don't have to pay anyone to do childcare. But rather than recognizing that, my husband would like to put me on an allowance, like I'm a child, so I don't spend too much money since I am, quote, not working.
Okay. Mitch, go ahead. What's going on?
First off, I can't take qualms with the word allowance, okay? It's a budget, and I do value what you do. All right, Lexi, I do. It's just
really because it sounds like
working.
You're laughing, but okay.
Well, no, because I think the idea is ridiculous. That's all. But it's like, listen, it's just a budget, right? I'm setting aside a budget for you to have groceries and a budget for expenses that come up, and also a fun fund, so that way you can still enjoy things and all of that, right? Like, to be honest with you, Lexi, you really haven't adjusted your lifestyle since quitting your job, and things are a little tighter, and this, I think, would help a bit.
There's another person in our house. That's why I'm spending the same amount of money, because we made another person. What you're saying is, like, you don't want me to take our kids to things. Like, that's really where the money's going to come out.
The other person in our house uses Uber Eats or buys still premium makeup. This is not what we're talking about. Of course, yes, baby formula and diapers and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be expensive. But, like, I'm more talking about
You named groceries as one of the things, and you said so that I can have groceries. You realize that I also cook for you.
All right. So, Lexi, you don't want to have a budget is basically what you're saying. You're thinking you're responsible enough that you can manage the funds on your own without your husband telling you this is how much you can spend, this is what you're allowed.
Right. I mean, we could budget together, but the idea that he's going to, like, give me a budget that I just have to stick to like it's the 1950s is degrading.
I mean, obviously there's a problem. I mean, the both of you are already into this and you're just starting this conversation. And these conversations are often uncomfortable. So, I mean, I think that rules and parameters is what we're looking for. Maybe rules is not the right word, right? I mean, like you said, you don't want to be controlled. You don't want to feel like you're boxed in. And I understand all that. You're an adult. On the other hand, seems to me like Mitch clearly, he doesn't know how to deal with this situation with you or maybe even this conversation. And something has to be reeled in. A budget doesn't seem like a terrible idea to me. I don't know, Anna.
Mitch, how much do you want her fun to be?
If we're talking about like per month, I would say like $400 is plenty. That's plenty.
All right. So that would include the premium makeup, the Uber Eats, all the excess things outside of groceries and baby
absolutely.
Things.
Things you don't necessarily need. Yeah.
Okay. Is Mitch being obnoxious for trying to tell his wife that she could only spend this much money on these items throughout the month? Or is he being responsible? And is Lexi wrong that saying that you have this much money you're allowed to spend because we're on a one income basis is fine and something that a responsible family should do?
It has to do, right? Sometimes. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Lexi and Mitch. Lexi is a stay-at-home mom now. She left her job last year after having her second baby and, you know, cost-efficient. It makes more sense for her to be home with the kids, not paying for daycare, all that. But Mitch now wants to give her an allowance. He's not calling it an allowance. She is. He's saying that she needs to control the money and stop spending as if they're still a two-income family. But she's like, you can't tell me every penny to spend. That's not fair.
Listen, I mean, the important thing to remember here is people are wound up because they're emotional, because they're fearful. And this goes for both of them, Mitch and Lexi. They're both fearful. Lexi is fearful of being controlled, of not being able to do the things that she needs to do on a daily basis. Every day you go out in the world, it costs money, right? And Mitch is fearful that we're not going to have any money left if you go out and you're not looking at the checkbook the same way that I am, then, you know, sooner or later, the bank account is just depleted. And where does that leave us?
Lexi says, you can't give me an allowance. I'm an adult. I am your wife. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Leah, whose side are you on?
I'm totally on the husband's side. Going from two income family to one income family, you definitely need a budget.
And $400 a month is a lot of money.
What do you mean you don't want me to take our six-month-old to Taylor Swift and Beyonce? What do you mean I don't have the money for that? I'm just kidding.
All right. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. The term allowance is what's really tough here.
Yeah, so. It's offensive.
Right. Lexi and Mitch. Lexi left her job to be a stay-at-home mom to their six-month-old and three-year-old. But what she doesn't like is now that she's not working, that all of a sudden Mitch wants to give her a quote-unquote what she calls an allowance.
Right.
Basically a monthly budget on what she can use to spend money on. She says it's not fair. Just because I'm not working anymore doesn't mean I don't really have a say in where our finances go.
Well, he's not trying to say that. What he's just saying is, listen, we've got to have certain boxes or certain amounts that we're comfortable with. So he said monthly, there'll be a grocery budget. There'll be a food budget on top of that, a supplemental thing. There'll be a bills budget. There'll be a fund. There'll be all those different things. He doesn't want to use the word allowance, but that is definitely what Lexi is stuck on.
Right.
She's upset about it.
She says, I'm a grown-up, and I'm a partner in this relationship. You don't get to tell me how much money to spend, but what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rosie, whose side are you on?
Hi, it's Rosie. I love your show, but I'm on his side. You know what? Like, it's very hard to give up an income. It's very hard to stay home with young children. That's a very difficult job to do.
Yeah.
But the fact remains is when you give up a significant amount of income, you know, which might be offset by saving childcare, you have to go on a budget. I don't care what adjective you use, but you have to be on a budget.
Hey, Jen, whose side are you on today?
I'm definitely on the husband's side. As much as I appreciate what Lexi does, we are in a crazy world. Things can fall apart at any moment. And I see nothing wrong with him wanting to ensure that they have food on the table, clothes on their back, and $400 a month to have fun.
Listen, I get what she's saying when Lexi talks about it. Nobody likes to feel like, you know, there's something hanging over your back, right? You have to spend money every day. And so you don't want to be stressed every penny that you spend. But I think that there's a point, right? Everybody has to have some sort of budget.
Right, but you should come up with it together. He shouldn't create an Excel spreadsheet for her. That's where I think the problem is. Hey, Taylor, what do you think about this?
I would be on the wife's side because, to be honest, this happened with my parents, and my dad gave my mom an allowance before they divorced and treated her like she was a child, and I don't think that's right at all. I think that they should sit down and talk and have a budget each week if it is only a one-income house.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mitch, our audience agreed with you today. Lexi, allowance is the wrong word. It's creating a sensible budget that's going to keep your family afloat financially. And that's what Mitch is trying to do. So maybe working together to find out what a reasonable amount is that you both can work with. That's what compromise in family is all about.
Right. It's a tool. It's a tool to be able to help make sure that we're fine. That's all that it is. And honestly, Lexi, I'm really sorry if you found this insulting. That is not the point of it at all.
I hope you noticed that they said we could work together to find a budget, not that you get to decide how much money is an appropriate amount of money. I hope you noticed that. Because
I did, but when
I can deal with
you. Okay. Yeah.
Team, guys, team. Either team now or, you know, it goes on this way for a while and then sooner or later you start losing things because you realize you just can't pay for all of them. And nobody likes to feel like they're financially strapped, right? So a little bit of compromise coming up.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$500 is a jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Sue, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, this is Sue. How do you do? Please leave the room because I'm going to beat you.
Oh, that was...
Well, I like that.
That was so good.
All right, Sue, Dr. Seuss. Good luck. $500. Here we go.
Thank you, Raven.
That was fun, Sue. All right, so Raven's walking out of here. Let that door close. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Harry Styles made a surprise appearance on SNL this past weekend while Ryan Gosling was hosting. Harry's going to be hosting this coming weekend. What's the name of his new album?
Kiss
all the time, disco occasionally.
Number two, Nick Cannon says he's fine with it. All 12 of his kids want to go into the entertainment business. Of all his baby mamas, which famous one does he have twins with named Moroccan and Monroe?
Mariah Carey.
Number three, Arnold Schwarzenegger will star in sequels to Predator, Conan, and Commando. Which one of those movies features Arnold fighting an alien in the jungle?
Alien.
Number four, Alexander Graham Bell's first phone call to his assistant, Thomas Watson, happened today in 1876. And that led to the establishment of the Bell Telephone Company, which evolved into the American Telephone and Telegraph Company. And that is now known as what company?
I have no idea. How about AT&T?
Number five, Nintendo unveiled its final Super Mario Bros. Galaxy movie trailer. It's going to be released on April 1st. What kind of animal is Yoshi?
Oh, I don't know. A cat.
All right, let me bring it.
Yo.
Let's go. All right, 3 out of 5 for Sue.
Not great, not terrible. $500. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Harry Styles made a surprise appearance on SNL this past weekend while Ryan Gosling was hosting.
Yeah.
Harry's going to host this coming weekend.
Yeah.
What's the name of his new album?
Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally.
Yes. Number two, Nick Cannon says he's fine if all 12 of his kids want to go into the entertainment business. Out of all his baby mamas, which famous one does he have twins, Moroccan and Monroe?
Mariah Carey.
Correct. Number three, Arnold Schwarzenegger will star in sequels to Predator, Conan, and Commando.
Not all of these are good ideas, but okay.
He's 78, by the way.
I mean, still looks good. I mean,
which one of those movies features Arnold fighting an alien in the jungle?
Predator, of course. Come on.
Yes, number four, Alexander Graham Bell's first phone call to his assistant, Thomas Watson, happened today in 1876.
All right.
That led to the establishment of the Bell Telephone Company, which evolved into the American Telephone and Telegraph Company and is now known as what?
Oh, is it Bell Pacific?
No, AT&T.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, Nintendo unveiled its final Super Mario Bros. Galaxy movie trailer. It's going to be released on April 1st. Okay. What kind of animal is Yoshi?
He's a turtle. It's like a turtle monster thing.
The dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
Sue, you guys tied at 3. That's going to get you an Anon Raven t-shirt.
Wow, Sue, that was close.
Hello there. My name is Sue, and Raven, boy, I want to beat you.
Maybe next time, girl. Enjoy that shirt. $600 Thank tomorrow, you. Sue.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.